That'll be great.
Hey, you open up for me, Pete.
Oh, good. All right.
Yes, sir. Go to Isaiah. Oh, by the way, I consider this a high and holy honor to be in this seat.
Well,
thank you. So I go to Isaiah 55. Start in verse 6. The Word of God is incredible. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his own way, and the unrighteous man his own thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he, the Lord, will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So just like Pete said, we don't want to bring the Word down to our level. We want to rise up to the level of the Word. And how far is that? Like, how far are the heavens higher than the earth? And that's just, that's something to chew on right there. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. You know, this, the rain comes down, and it, you know, it fills the rivers up, feeds the fish, stirs up the water, it does all these wonderful things, feeds the plants, does things that we don't even know about. And so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, we put on this word of God, and it'll do stuff in our lives that we aren't even aware of. You get stuff right spiritually, and everything else kind of just falls in place. Keep your head on straight, think God's thoughts, and it's okay. And then, you know, yeah, okay. Yeah, when we go to the Word, we want to, like Pete shared last week and the week before, we want to go to the Word with new eyes. And, you know, our attitude when we go to God's Word is, teach me and give me understanding. So that's our attitude, and we want to rise up to the level of the Word, and, you know, not just go to fellowship because we've got to go to fellowship, because everybody's looking at me, you know, that kind of thing. We go to find out who our Father is, and just be with one body. Pretty cool. No better place to be. All right, so we know that the law was a shadow of things to come, and the concept of substitution was taught in the Old Testament. Every time an animal died in them Old Testament sacrifices, it signified that the guilty was dying for the innocent was dying for the guilty. Every time an animal, you know, lost his life. So, in the on the Day of Atonement, the scapegoat was brought to the priest, and the priest would lay his hand on the goat, and the sins of Israel were transferred onto the goat, and the innocence of the goat made Israel clean again. That's just one example of it. And the laying on of the hands signified a double transfer. When they laid their hand on the animal to be sacrificed, it signified a double transfer. Their guilt going on to the animal, and the innocence of that animal coming back to them. This was taught that people knew about this stuff back then. You know, we don't have to offer our animals to the Lord anymore. This is over. This is done with. But the concept of substitution is what God was teaching his people. Okay, and in the peace offering, it's just one of the offerings. And believe me, I'm just overviewing this stuff. It's a lot deeper than what I'm sharing right now. There's more to it. But in the peace offering, it was the only sacrifice on the offered on the altar that was eaten by the offerer. The Passover was not presented on the altar. That was done at their homes. So this peace offering, the offerer would bring his, let's say a lamb or his animal or his goat or whatever, and he was would lay his hands on it, and it was, that signified the double transfer. His sin went onto the animal, and the innocence of the animal went back to him. And then this animal was divided up. The fat was the Lord's, all the fat. And there's instructions in the Word about how to cut this fat out. It's pretty detailed, pretty crazy. All the fat was the Lord's because it was considered to be the most finest part of the animal. And that was burnt on the altar for a burnt offering to the Lord. The breast and the right shoulder was cut off, and it was waved before God, signifying that meant that was God's portion of it. That portion was in turn given to the priest, and the priest ate it on behalf of God. All right? The rest of the animal was taken home by the offerer, and he ate it with his family. All right? Now, the eating of these sacrifices, it signified a full sharing with it. When you ate that sacrifice, you were fully sharing in what that sacrifice was and what it meant, and the God to whom it was sacrificed to. So it was a three thing. So they were all involved, the offerer, the priest, and Jesus Christ is the high priest. Can't forget that. And God. So they were all one. And to boot, it was... Wait, there's more.
Wait, if you order now.
Anyway, all these offerings were salted. And the salt represented a lifetime allegiance to God, like an unbreakable covenant between the three of them. You know, the salt covenant thing is just tremendous if you look at it. Like I say, just an overview of this stuff, because there's not enough time to get into it all. So anyway, and the law was a shadow of the good things that was to come. The offering, like the animal, fully shared in sin and the consequences of it, death. And, okay, so go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. And if you want to hear some more of this Pete did a teaching not too long ago on the trespass offering, it'll really open up some things for you. 2 Corinthians 5. Oh yeah, I'm in the wrong spot. 21. Okay. God has made him, Jesus Christ, to be a sin offering. It should be sin offering. On our behalf, that's that substitution. Okay? Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the double transfer. Our sin was laid on Jesus Christ, and his innocence, his righteousness went to us. That's how we got it. And that is God's design. That's how God set that up. The way God would go about to redeem mankind would be to take all the sins of humanity and lay them on Jesus Christ. That's how God chose to do it. It's real simple. All right. 1 Corinthians 10:18. And there's lots of lot to be said about them old sacrifices, because when you look at them, you'll see with more clarity what we have in Christ and just the pureness of it, and how just right on it is with the age that we live in right now. It's just, it's incredible. All right. 1 Corinthians 10:18. Okay. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? And that, you know, this is the age of grace right here. And God's telling us, this is applicable to us. Behold, pay attention. Hey, look at this. Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices? You know, when they, like the peace offering, they ate it. It signified that they were all one. Okay? It signified that they were all one. Okay? Part, and the word partakers is a full sharing. It's a full sharing. You utter oneness with that sacrifice and the God to whom it was sacrificed to. Alright? And if you keep reading, even verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you would have fellowship or a full sharing. Even the pagan people, you know, that worship to God's small g, they would eat of, they would sacrifice with an animal or whatever, and they would eat it, and they became one with that idol, and to whom the devil spirit that idol was offered to. They became one with that. It's crazy. You know, that stuff was known back then. That was known. It was like a known thing. You know, we don't have to apply this in our day and time. Jesus Christ is the end of the law, but boy, learning about it, it'll increase your knowledge on what we got now. It's pretty cool. We are in utter oneness with Him, Jesus Christ. Yeah, the word partakers is a full sharing. Go to John chapter 17. You know, looking at this stuff, I'll just keep going here. John 17. Verse 20. It's Jesus Christ speaking. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Remember the peace offering? You know, that sacrifice, man, eaten, represented that they were all one. Look here. You know, it's incredible. It's just that, and you can keep reading it, and it says it again later on. Yeah, verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. It's incredible when you think about it. It's Christ in you. John chapter 6. God went through great lengths in the Old Testament to teach his people about this concept of substitution. You know, in the temple, there was all kind of daily, all kind of animals being sacrificed. And it was like tutorials of redemption. You know, in a tutorial, you use your five senses. You know, you feel it, you see it, you might smell it, there's something in it. You think about it, these people brought them animals there to be sacrificed, and man, they was hearing, they would hear that animal walk across the floor, and then, you know, when it got killed, you would hear that, and you'd probably smell the blood and the burnt offering, you smell that. And it was a great way to learn. It's tremendous. So, like, if you wonder where tutorials came from, probably God.
Yeah. First tutorials.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
All right. John chapter 6, verse 53. This stuff's exciting. Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as a Father, as a living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, amen, even he shall live by me. He's speaking in sacrificial language right here. And without knowing that, you'd never understand what this meant. You know, these disciples, I think some of them left because they found this, oh, this is too hard. How can we know what's going on here? What are you saying? You know, many of his disciples, I think, left after that. So, that's what that's talking about. You know, them sacrifices, they represented him. God was teaching him that an innocent one would be offering, would die on behalf of the guilty ones. And that's what God was teaching him. And Jesus Christ knew what was going on with them sacrifices. He knew that he was the Passover lamb. He knew that he was the Lamb of God with, which carries away the sin of the world. He knew it. He went in with eyes wide open. Okay. He was looking forward to his once and for all sacrifice and the full sharing and oneness which each believer would have with him. That's what he was looking forward to right there in that verse, in that section there. So it's pretty cool. Okay, go to Isaiah 53. Really bless me, that song Calvary covered it all. Whew, takes me out every time, man. Okay, Isaiah 53. Starting verse 3. This Isaiah 53 section is absolutely loaded. You can spend all day, probably a week and a half in this, and still never see it all. And so we're just going to run through it real quick. He is despised and rejected of men. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. A prophecy about what he would do. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The word for sorrows and grief is, griefs is sickness and disease, and sorrows is pain and mental anguish. You know, mental prisons, whatever you want to call it. And the extreme of mental anguish would be devil spirit possession, because that really messes a person up. You know, that sometimes they call them, in this day and time, oh, they're mentally ill, you know. You know, it could be something else, but Jesus Christ took care of that too. Okay. And you know, by the five senses observer of Jesus Christ hanging on that wood post, only seen a crucified man, a martyred man. That's all they've seen. they couldn't see behind the scenes what was really going on. The redemption of humanity, like all men. That's what was going on. And you know, to whom is the arm of the Lord
revealed?
You know, that's God fighting for his people. That's what that means, and it's mentioned earlier in the verse, in the chapter here, in chapter 2. Okay. So, verse 4, surely, certainly he has borne or carried our sickness and diseases and carried our, and bore our sorrows, and he carried. So the word nasa, it's to carry away. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, that's all the five senses observers seeing with that. But, and here it is, he was wounded for our transgressions. This word for is the concept of substitution. The innocent taken, the innocent for the guilty. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, twice in that, four is the concept of substitution. Yeah, he bore it. He to take away in the sense of lifting up and carrying away. Yet the concept of substitution, this man stood as a substitute. He suffered the penalty of sin in place of God's people. He carried their sin and sickness and mental anguish. All right. And so, okay, with the structure, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, it'd be like a ton of bricks when talking about Paul. And you know, how could he be forgiven? How could he be forgiven? Even Simon the sorcerer bewitched the people of Samaria beyond, you know, bad. How could he get born again? Well, it says here that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That would include them. You know what I mean? It's incredible. It's, so he really must have laid all the iniquity on Jesus Christ if, you know, these guys got in. It's incredible. God's not a man and he don't lie. When he says, he does. Pretty cool. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. If anybody had a right to open their mouth, it would have been him. He could have called on 72,000 angels, but he didn't. Because if he would have, he would blew it. This is a prophecy of what he would do in the future. And if he would open his mouth, he would have blew it. It's pretty incredible. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He's taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Land of the living. Meaning he died. You know, this torture and stuff that he went through, it led to his death. We know that. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And you can say, it was demanded, and he became answerable. Okay. So that is a prophecy. Every time an animal died as a sacrifice, the implied message was that the innocent was dying as a substitute for the guilty. So Jesus Christ had the sin and the consequences of it on him. So then what? All this stuff was on him. Then what happened then? Where did it go? You gotta wonder, you gotta think about that. When he died, it became inactive. It was disarmed. Like all that stuff, you know, he was drugged to Calvary and all this stuff was on him. And when he was crucified and he died, you know, it's finished. that's all that stuff that was on him, the sin became inactive. The wages of sin is death, and we'll get there in a minute. But, you know, a man that is, let's give you a little bit of an example here. If a man, say this man is real sick, whatever man, say he has some kind of incurable disease, all right? And, wow, you go see him, and he's like, oh, man, he's really messed up. So when the guy dies, the disease is made inactive. It's no longer the issue. The issue is that he's dead now. That's the issue. So what's the issue with Jesus Christ now? That stuff was made inactive. And he is seated at the right hand of God now. That stuff that he took to the grave, that sin and that sickness, that's what we inherited from Adam. Sin and the consequences of it. And that was all taken to the grave. And go to Romans chapter 6. Yeah, the bigger issue now after all that stuff happened was, you know, they're dead. I was talking about the guy with the disease. You know, Jesus Christ, just a little analogy there to show it. And that's how, you know, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Wow. Like after somebody dies, their sin's paid for. Look, I mean, there's nothing else to do. You're free. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read this in the Working Translation. Just a little easier to understand. Okay. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. On the other hand, are you ignorant of the fact that whoever of us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Thus we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. This is an incredible section to chew on. So if we have become identified with him in the likeness of his death, then we shall also certainly be in the likeness of his resurrection. You know, the full sharing thing, the eating of the sacrifices signified that they were all one. It's incredible. We utterly and totally are one with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're one with him. And it says it right here. So if we have become identified with him in the likeness of his death, it's as if we died. We are so identified with him, it's as if we died and paid the penalty for our sin. But we didn't. He did. Then we shall also certainly be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, so that that body of sin might be made inactive. You know, the sin and the consequences of it was made inactive when he died. Because it was all on him. Isn't that cool? It's so cool. To the end that we are no longer servants to sin. In fact, he who has died has been justified from the sin. So we die and we're justified. That stuff has no right to us. We died with Christ. How could Paul say, Christ I was crucified with, nevertheless I live? And the life that I live by the believing regarding the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yeah. Okay. In the Old Testament, the offerers were filled with the flesh of the peace offering. We are filled with all the fullness of God in Christ. Okay. Yeah.
Galatians, man, it just speaks volumes. It just speaks volumes to the, you know, us being crucified with Christ. And you know, you got, you know, if you're reading this stuff and you kind of don't get it, like how Pete started off, we want to rise up to the level of the Word and not bring it down to our level so we can understand it. Like if somebody tries to understand this by their five senses, it ain't going to happen. Because they're going to try to rationalize and, oh, maybe this and maybe that. Let's do a DNA test. And you ain't going to do it, man. Just believe, rise up to the level of the Word, because God's not a man that he should lie. He made man, he made the earth. He had the message of salvation written in the stars in the beginning. I mean, come on. He ought to know what's going on. So just rise up to the level and just believe it. And it's so important to do that because, you know, I find myself sometimes trying to, oh, how did that happen, man? Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, back the bus up here. Just believe it. Just believe it. When he died, we died. When he got up, we got up. All right, verse 8. Now, since we died with Christ, says it again. You know, it says it all over the place. Colossians, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ our life shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Now, why would God say that so much? Because Jesus Christ died in our place. Our eternal life started when we got born again. When we got born from above, or born of God, that's when our eternal life started. And if you think about it, if I died right now, then I'm really not dying, I'm sleeping. God calls us sleep. I'm going to take a nap. My next thought's the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Pretty cool. It's totally different than what the world got. You know, we saw him not even as others which had no hope. I got ahead of myself here a little bit. Okay, verse 8. Now, since we died with Christ, then we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death is no longer Lord over him. For in that he died to the sin once and for all. But in that he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves, first of all, dead to the sin. Secondly, being alive to God in Christ Jesus. And go down to verse 17 of chapter 6. No, 22, verse 22. However, now having been made free from the sin and having been made servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Truly then, the wages of the sin is death. But God's free gift of grace is eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, that's what Adam brought about. He brought about spiritual death. God said, dying thou shalt die. And Adam lost spirit, and that was death. And it led to physical death. And God put all men under Adam so that all men can be put under Jesus Christ. Two federal heads, Adam or Jesus Christ. And it's incredible because all you got to do is confess him as Lord. Just agree with the position that God put him in because God made him Lord. And we agree with that and believe God raised him from the dead. And you get spirit and you got eternal life. It's so simple. It's thrilling to say the least. Okay, so go to Hebrews chapter 2. You guys following along already? Someday. here. This is from the Working Translation. Chapter 14, or Hebrews 2, verse 14. Therefore, since the children share of flesh and blood, he likewise partook of the same, that through death he might render inactive him who holds the strength of death, that is the devil. Verse 15, and might release those who throughout all their lifetime were held in bondage by fear of death. So, you know, we grew up, before we got born again and knew the truth, we, you know, some of us, I know I was afraid of death. I was afraid of the unknown. And, you know, if there's some kind of fear of death in your life, then maybe, you know, when I read that I'm dead in Christ, you know, died with Christ, oh, you might be inclined to push it away and say, oh, no, I'm much alive, no thank you. I'm much alive, and you are. Okay, do you understand that? Because you read you died in Christ, it's like, oh, no, I'm much alive. It's kind of weird. I think I was dealing with something like that, and I was just shown, like, hey, maybe you still got a little fear of death there, son. So, and, you know, like I said before, our eternal life started when we got born again. And Jesus Christ died in our place. The wages of sin is death. He did that on our behalf. He died on our behalf. Okay? And like if I died right now, my last thought would be you guys. Great thought. Guess what? I'm taking a nap. There's no reckoning of time. Did you ever take a nap for like 3 minutes and felt like you slept half the day? You know, that kind of thing. So my next thought when I wake up is the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. I mean, really, it's not a bad deal. Like, you know, I say that and I mean that. I really mean that. When you look at it that way. And that's how God wants us to look at it. We're sleeping when we die. I'm not condoning death. I'm not wanting to die. Death is an enemy of God. I'm not saying that I want to die. What I'm saying is, look at things through God's eyes. We're sleeping. If the Lord tarries, all of us will fall asleep. You know, if he tarries long enough. And we want to build this word of God in our hearts so that when stuff happens, we're ready. You know, we're ready for it. You know, we don't sorrow as others. So yeah, we die with Christ. I just wanted to cover that because I think might have been an issue for some folks. I know not all of us. Okay. Okay, go down to, still in chapter 2, go down to verse 18. Moreover, and this is a working translation, moreover, by what he suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help or succor those who are tempted. That word help is the word, I forget the word, but it's used of when they make ships, they make them out of wood, you know, back in the day, biblical times. When they were going through rough seas, they would wrap bands down around the ship, and it would hold the ship. It would hold the ship together when they were going through rough seas so it wouldn't like blow apart. That's this word succor, help. Think about it. Jesus Christ is head of the body. He is active. He is absolutely active. Then when he came to Ananias, Ananias said, Lord, what do you need? What do you need to do? You know, one-on-one relationship with him. And Jesus Christ is able to help us. He's very active in the body. I mean, look what he went through on our behalf. What do you think he's going to stand like, oh, I'm done. No. When he said it's finished, the redemption of humanity was finished. He ain't finished with us yet. He's the head of the body. And if you think about it,
We're members of the body of Christ, right? I can't even do this without my head. I can't do this. I can't raise my arm without my head. I can't raise this arm without my this thing either. Because this thing's telling this what to do. Isn't that cool? That is so cool. The analogy of, you know, God, the body of Christ, and how it works. It's amazing. It's thrilling. All right. Yeah, he's able to help. He's able to help us. Did you ever feel like you were coming apart at the seams? Yeah, he's there. He's there. You've got the Spirit of God in you. All right. So, wrap it up here shortly. And what he took to the grave? He took that suitcase full of blues, too, with him. So we don't have to carry that around either. And he took the case with him, too. Pretty cool, huh? Just have fun with it, man. It's your word. It's your word. Make it your own. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. So a little bit of practical application. I'm going to do the best I can with this. You know, we all run into different things in the world. And, you know, so if somebody, you know, how do I apply what we just read here? So if I'm somewhere and somebody unjustly accuses me, what do I do with that? And here it is. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of believing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Guess where we are persecuted? Because we're one with him. For consider him. And that's what you do. When somebody unjustly accuses me, I can not retaliate and try to defend myself. Because you just beating your head off the wall. They ain't going to listen to you. They did what they did. And so maybe try this. You know, just your bloody knuckles for nothing. You know? Don't need to get that point of blood. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. You know, we can go there, you know, get unjustly accused or something happens to you. Say, you know, Father, man, did you hear that? And don't be surprised if you might hear something from him like right then. And consider him. He was unjustly accused like big time, like more than anybody. He didn't do anything wrong, ever. You know, just consider him. Start thinking about him. You know, you get some kind of obstacle in life, it's bad, consider him. I guarantee you, whatever you're up against, he went up against more. And it'll just bring you right up out of that. I think of a downward spiral in a commode. Go down. No, you go up. Consider him. You know, you go any other way. That's pretty cool. You know, consider yourself dead to the sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, you consider him and Christ I was crucified with, nevertheless I live in the life that I now live. I live by believing regarding the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We look to him. We look to God. Father, you know, help. Help. That's pretty cool. You know, and if you got my arm hurts, so talk to it. Say, I died. You've been made an actor.
however you want to handle it. Like, just have fun with it, but take it seriously because it's true. You know, talk it over with your father, you know. Get quiet and just ask him, Dad, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Maybe he'll say, I'll get your wife to rub it. Sore muscle, I don't know. Or, hang in there, boy, I got this. There's a couple times I felt like going to the hospital. And I asked Father, and he says, I got this. Okay. And I was all right. So, you know, we can go to him for help like that. He'll work with us. It's pretty neat. He's awesome. Okay. So anyway, this Jesus Christ is referred to as the Lamb of God. Go to Revelation 21, verse 23. He's referred to as the Lamb of God back in Genesis, all the way through the whole Bible, you know, here and there. And it's a lot of times in Revelation. That's like the next administration. And I think this is the working translation here. Revelation 21:23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb thereof. That is the third heaven and earth. That is the third heaven and earth. And Jesus Christ is still referred to as the Lamb. Him being the Lamb is going to echo throughout eternity. The sin is not going to be remembered. What's going to be remembered is Him dying in our place. That's what's going to be remembered. So this is big. So if it's going to be echoed throughout eternity, we ought to just take advantage and cling to what He did right now. And utilize it. Just believe it and go for it. You know, we die and our life is hid with Christ and God. You know, you think about it, and when He comes back to the earth to establish His kingdom, we're going to be with Him. We're like identified with Him. We're one with Him. We're literally and utterly, totally one with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God. Nothing shall ever separate you from God. You know, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God, who justified you? Christ, who died? You know, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Oh, and this Lord Jesus Christ that we've been talking about for the last, I don't know, half hour. We are going to see Him face to face one day. And that is excitement. Think about it. Think about that. You wake up in the morning, oh man, you know, kind of make you tell, oh yeah, today might be the day. Oh yeah. No, man. No, we're going to look at it right in the face. We are going to see Him face to face, and we are going to see God in all His glory. The events that are going to go down in the future, like in the book of Revelation, we did a family camp. Jesus Christ, Our Hope, I think it's called. It's about future events that are going to go down. Take a listen to it. And, you know, I get excited about planning a trip on the weekend or planning a vacation. I get excited about it. You might look at a brochure and, wow, I'm going to go there. Wow, cool. Yeah, I can't wait. You know, you can't sleep because you're thinking about it. Check out them events that are going to go down. We're going to have front row seats to all of it. We're going to watch like death and the state of death get thrown into the lake of fire. We're going to be there with Lord Jesus Christ because we're one with Him. I mean, it's like mind-boggling. That's excitement. That'll light your boat. It will give you strength, backbone, and it will just cause you to be strong. And, yeah. So that's what I wanted to share.
Amen.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay. That's good stuff to chew on. It's good stuff that you want.